It is Masters Week. Welcome to the Betting Pros PGA Podcast. I'm Pat Fitzmaurice, here with Bo McBrayer. Thank you for joining us as we take a deep dive into the Masters and examine this year's tournament from a betting perspective. We will also do a quick recap of the Valero Texas Open. And at the end of the show, we will make our one-and-done picks. And by the way, make sure you head over to bettingpros.com this week to check out our extensive coverage of the Masters. We have a whole bunch of articles, including a couple by you, Bo McBrayer. We have betting previews of close to 40 players. And if you want betting advice for the 2024 Masters, we have you covered at bettingpros.com. The Betting Pros PGA Podcast is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog is the place to go for best ball fantasy football contests. But you might not have known that Underdog is golf contests too. Sign up for Underdog if you haven't already with the promo code BPGolf to get your first deposit matched up to $100. Plus, there's a special pick available for you in the lobby. More on Underdog and its golf contests a little later. Let's quickly recap the Valero Texas Open, Bo. It seemed like it was going to be a very boring, drama-free tournament. Akshay Bhatia opened with a 63 to grab a three-shot lead on Thursday. He built on that lead Friday and Saturday. And by the time Bhatia made the turn on Sunday, he had a seemingly insurmountable six-shot lead over Denny McCarthy. No one else in the field even close to those two. Then McCarthy went absolutely nuclear on the back nine, making eight birdies and carding a remarkable 28 on the back nine. Arguably the best round anyone's played on the tour since Wyndham Clark's 60 at Pebble Beach a few months ago. In fact, Bhatia had to sink a 12.5-foot birdie putt on 18 just to force sudden death. And when he sank that putt, he fist pumped so hard that he popped his shoulder out of joint. So Bhatia needed medical assistance, but he was able to keep playing. And for the first hole of sudden death, Bhatia and McCarthy played the 18th hole again. It's a long par five. Both players had to lay up with their second shots. Bhatia hit a wedge to 6 feet with his third, and McCarthy then hit a wedge shot so fat that I think even a 20 handicapper would have been embarrassed by it. Almost laid the sod over his ball. It was so fat. Dumped it into a creek fronting the green and had to take a penalty, and that was pretty much it. But Bhatia sank the 6.5-footer for good measure. So Bhatia and McCarthy both finished at 20 under par. That was nine shots better than third-place finisher Rory McIlroy. And Akshay Bhatia wasn't even in the Masters field until that six-foot birdie putt dropped. And yes, voila, he is in. Bo, you touted Bhatia as one of your favorite mid-range plays last week, so you have some betting momentum heading into the Masters. Any thoughts on Akshay's victory or anything else you witnessed at the Valero Texas Open?
It was just bound to happen. His game fits that course really well. He's been on a hot streak with what usually trips Akshay up is his accuracy off the tee and his putting. His approach game, especially with short approaches, is as good as it gets in the world. And around the greens, he's been exceptional. Ever since he turned pro at 17 years old, he's been a good chipper. Of course, we now know that he's the first drive, chip, and putt alum to qualify for the Masters on tour, which is great. But in a course like TPC San Antonio, missing the fairway isn't that penal. We went over that, where even if you're in the second cut of rough, it's fine unless you're blocked by trees or if you have a really bad angle to a pin placement. Akshay didn't really have that trouble. He was even driving it better than I expected. And it was no wonder he went out there with his hair on fire and built a really pretty much insurmountable lead, save for your freak occurrence of a back 9-28 on Sunday by a guy who was among the worst ball strikers in the field. Denny McCarthy is known for his putting. He's one of the best putters in the world, and he set a tournament record, or actually a PGA Tour record. He tied a PGA Tour record with 92 putts total in 72 holes. That's unbelievable putting. And for a guy like him, that's what he needed to win that tournament. And I give him all the props. He made me, let's just say, I almost shit a brick on Sunday afternoon. because I had 55-1 on Akshay. I had the top 10 locked up. I had a couple other top fives and top 10s and top 20s locked up. It was the best week we've had all season from this show. And for Akshay to finally pull through in the playoff was a huge relief, first of all. But yes, it does give us a lot of momentum to maybe play a little bit more aggressively at the Masters.
Yeah, it was funny when McCarthy hit that wedge shot into the creek. I mean, he was disgusted with himself from the minute the ball left the club face. But, you know, it was a 90-yard shot, and I saw his reaction. I've been there. How bad could it possibly be? Oh, wow, that was really bad. Again, Batia, driver wasn't really a problem, but, yeah, it was a friendly course for him, one without penal rough. Oh, and by the way, Augusta National, rough, not all that penal. We'll get to that soon. But first, our friends at Underdog Fantasy are letting you make picks on your favorite golfers all season long. Just pick higher or lower on selected stats for 2 to 5 players, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single day. You can also make rivals picks where you choose, for instance, which of 2 golfers will shoot a better score for a round. Golf picks can be combined with player stats from other sports too. Go sign up at Underdog Fantasy if you haven't already with the promo code BPGolf to get your first deposit matched up to $100. Plus, there's a special pick available for you in the lobby. Let's talk about Augusta National, although I think we can probably spend less time discussing this iconic course than we spend on some of the other PGA Tour venues, simply because everyone knows it. They watch it on TV every year. I think people are familiar with the iconic 12th, the 13th, the 15th, 16th. So many classic holes here. It's a par 72 that measures 7,555 yards. The greens are bent grass, and they are incredibly fast. It is imperative that you not put your approach shot above the hole, or else welcome to three-putt city. The fairways are pretty roomy for the most part, and the rough isn't very penal. You can definitely find trouble off the tee in a few holes, but mainly if you go into the trees and the pine straw. Otherwise, for the most part, it's bombs away. It's really hard to win at Augusta if you do not make mincemeat out of the par fives, which are pretty short. The longest of the par fives, number 2, is 585 yards. The famous 13th is only 545 yards, and the 15th is only 550. It's a second shot course, Bo. Approaches are crucial here, and it's not just about hitting greens. It's about hitting the right spots on the green, keeping it below the hole, as I said before, and hitting the spots that will use the slopes to funnel the ball down toward the hole. Because these greens aren't just fast, they are undulating and fast. And really, that's the thing about Augusta. Like, nothing is flat on this course.
Not a single shot.
Yeah, not greens, not fairways. Augusta National looks great on TV, but take it from someone who's actually had the privilege of walking the course. Not even high definition can do justice to the elevation changes and the severity of the contours of the green at this place. And one other thing worth mentioning, course management is just so crucial here, and some players do well year after year after year because they have become so adept at getting around this course, avoiding the trouble spots, and just putting approach shots in the right places. Like, take Fred Couples, for instance. He was competitive at the Masters well into his 50s simply because he knows how to play the course. Hell, Freddie made the cut at the Masters last year at age 63. What else stands out to you about Augusta National, or what points do you think need to be emphasized?
So it's not the most fair course. So a lot of people love the Masters because of the pageantry, because of the spring blooms. I mean, it's the most gorgeous place on earth. It's just unbelievably secluded, back in the Georgia woods. It's not much to speak of once you're there. The property, it's like you said, everything is immaculate. It's perfectly manicured. But it's not fair to every golfer. Like, this course favors a certain type of golfer. It favors a golfer who can shape the ball right to left, who can flight the ball different heights, who can work the ball right, left, center. It's a shot maker's paradise, but only for the guys who are consistent with it. And then you also have to combine that too with an immaculate short game. This course is, I would argue, a third and fourth shot course, because even if you hit the greens, good luck two putting, because even if you're below the hole, there's so much nuance. There's, of course, overwhelming undulation on these greens. They are lightning fast, but they're tricky because you have a lot of shade on the greens and you can't read them very well. So chipping and putting on this course is so essential that you almost have to just be on fire and know, and at the same time know the course. So there's a lot of, there's guys that have made it here who've never done well, and there's guys that will play here, they're play well here their entire careers. We know the usual suspects, and it's not kind to newcomers that haven't seen the property yet. It's like the newcomers here flounder almost every time. It's one of the main correlating factors to the Masters is course history. And it's the one place where you can say course history matters more than anything else. So you have to know the course, and then you have to play out of your mind consistent around these greens to even have a chance. And at the end of the day, if all of that's true, it's not that hard. Like, we see consistently good scoring for a major in the Masters because it's not usually windy. The winds swirl and they get tricky, but it's not usually a gusty place because it's very secluded back in the woods. But the wind does swirl, and it's just, it's, if you're on your game, you're going to win with a score between 15, 20 under par. And if you're off your game, you'll be packing it up on Friday afternoon. So it's pretty simple.
Yeah, it's funny. Who I saw on Twitter about, who is the player? Is it Kim? I forget Kim's first name. The guy who is pretty active on social media, and Michael Kim. Yeah, so he was doing an Ask Me Anything session on Twitter, and someone asked him what a scratch golfer would shoot in tournament conditions at Augusta National. He said 90. He said 90 for a scratch golfer.
Yeah. I mean, a scratch golfer shoots in the mid 70s usually. So that's palpable. And I've heard a lot of people say that a 15 handicap wouldn't break 100 here. And that's true. But a scratch golfer, I think, would struggle also to break 100 here because they're not used to everything riding on every shot. Like, there's no layups here, there's no gimmies here. It's going to challenge you to go for these par fives and two. It's going to challenge you to go for the pin, even if you're in the pine straw. All these guys are going to be playing this course aggressively because the danger isn't obvious. The danger is up here, just getting off kilter with your own swing. It's all within the ears. This course, if you just play the course, not that hard. We've seen a lot of guys win with 20 under, with a good score here. It just comes down to, if your game's off a little bit, the course is going to crush you. You'll end up in Rays Creek and be part of the folklore.
Yeah, and it definitely plays tougher if it's fast and firm. So let's talk about the weather. Thursday could be pretty dicey. They're talking about a very good chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Then thunderstorms are a little more scattered in the afternoon. Winds of 10 to 20 miles an hour. So we could see some weather delays early in the tournaments, but then no rain after Thursday. Friday, sunny and breezy with winds of 10 to 20 miles an hour. And on the weekend, mostly sunny with winds of 5 to 10, more typical conditions. Maybe by Sunday, after that first wave of rain on Thursday, things are drying out a little bit and we get a really interesting round on Sunday with people, you know, just trying to make pars down the stretch and survive. Now, we will get to the Masters odds in just a minute, but first, be sure to join the Betting Pros Masters Fantasy Tiers Contest, which we are offering courtesy of our friends at Splash Sports. How do you play? Visit bettingpros.com/masters. Select six golfers. Each golfer accumulates fantasy points for their performance on each hole. golfers will be awarded a penalty for each round missed, whether it's a missed cut or a withdrawal. And be sure, of course, to consider golfers' injury status when selecting your lineup, as your lineup will lock when the tournament starts. So you might want to make sure Akshay Bhatia hasn't popped his shoulder out of joint again. The lowest score at the end of the contest wins. See the rules section for more specifics on scoring and the prizes section for more specifics on payouts. Again, all you need to do to get started is visit bettingpros.com/masters. Let's get to the opening odds for the Masters, Bo. These are as of Monday afternoon on DraftKings Sportsbook. Scottie Scheffler, surprise, surprise, opens as a heavy favorite at plus 450. Rory McIlroy and Jon Rahm are plus 1,100. Xander Schauffele, plus 1,600. Brooks Koepka, plus 2,000. Jordan Spieth, plus 2,200. Joaquin Niemann and Hideki Matsuyama plus 2,500, Ludvig Åberg plus 3,000, and at plus 3,500, we have a big group that includes Victor Hovland, Tony Finau, Patrick Cantlay, Matt Fitzpatrick, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Will Zalatoris, and Wyndham Clark. These are the big names, Bo. Let's start with Scotty. He's won here before, and he's hotter than a blast furnace. Are you betting him at plus 450?
No, but I'm going to have my finger hovering above the button live on Thursday. So depending on which tee time he draws on Thursday, if it's morning, it's a little trickier to bet him live because he'll be playing with, he'll be playing alongside to the early wave. But if he's a PM tee time and the early wave goes out there and somebody shoots 65 or 66, then he'll be teeing off with a big deficit to overcome. And that's when you can start swinging at a number that's closer to 10 to 1 or even more than 10 to 1. And this is the best golfer in the world. He's the best ball striker by a long shot. And his usual bugaboo of putting is not... it's not bad at all. He was really hot the last couple. I don't think either one of us can remember the last time he didn't finish in the top 10 of an event. He's always going to be there. And with what we saw from him in 2022 and even last year when he finished 10th, this place fits his eye. And if he can just make some putts, see some putts go in on Thursday, he could run away with this thing. That's how good this guy is playing right now. And we haven't seen a lot of these other favorites play that well recently. So it's Scotty pretty quickly on if we see somebody jump out in front of him and we can see those odds slip a bit.
Yeah, a precision ball striker like Scotty on a course that occasionally requires you to land iron shots on a surface area the size of a tabletop. Yeah, that's Scotty to a T. And putting would maybe be the concern here normally, but not lately. He's been just fine with the flat stick. So the only thing that's holding me back at plus 450, Bo, the field. I mean, it's the best field in the world now. You've got the LIV guys coming here. So I can't bet even a guy who's clearly the best player in the world at such short odds and such a stacked field. I just can't do it. But like you said, circumstances may arise where live betting Scotty is the way to go. I want to talk about a few other guys from this group. Let's start at the back with Wyndham Clark at plus 3,500. You were talking about first-timers, Bo. Here's a first-timer who can putt the lights out and hits it long. Two of the things that are pretty advantageous for players at Augusta. Like, Wyndham Clark seems tailor-made for Augusta National, but on his first trip, could you touch him even at, you know, plus 3,500?
No chance. That's it. I'll be rooting for him. I'll be rooting for him, but sorry, that's just way too short of a number for a newcomer who... honestly, doesn't have the chipping for this course. I don't worry about his putting at all because he's so good, but I worry about him on approach and I worry about him around these greens, putting himself in position to make those putts that he can make. I have serious doubts that he's worthy of this number, especially with the people around him. At the same number, I have Victor Hovland, who up until like 3 weeks ago was the best golfer in the world alongside Scotty. We have a little bit of an overblown injury report on Victor Hovland with his wrist, but I haven't seen Victor Hovland struggle enough to give him to favor Wyndham Clark over him. Victor Hovland at that number is a better play. And then you have all these guys that have won this tournament before that are a little bit shorter that I would hold in much higher regard in this tournament than Wyndham Clark. Going down a little bit, another newcomer that's too short is Ludvig Åberg. Just too short. I love the player. I want to root for him, but this is not the tournament to be betting a first timer, especially when they're getting odds that says they're a past champion. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So, be very careful if you're betting Clark or Oberg, because they just haven't seen the course before, and this place eats those players up.
Now, early in Rory McIlroy's career, it seemed like only a matter of time before he'd win at Augusta. He almost went in 2011, but his errant tee shot on Sunday on number 10 led to some tree trouble. Things spiraled from there, and Rory has never donned the green jacket. He's finished in the top 10 in 8 of the last 10 years, but he's missed the cut in 2 of the last 3. Too much scar tissue here, Bo. Are you staying away?
Yeah, except for last week, his chipping and putting have been atrocious. His wedge game has been just bad, and this is the place that's going to put that right on the grills. There's a reason why he struggled the last few years, because his form has not been the same. If I'm looking in that range, Jon Rahm right here, defending champ at 11-1. Are we kidding? Do we forget how good Jon Rahm is? Because he just joined LIV, and before that, he was up there with Scottie Scheffler in the conversation for the best player in the world. It's not like Scottie became the omnipotent being just by a guy switching tours. Jon Rahm at 11-1 is a great price. Xander Schauffele fits his course like a glove, and Brooks Koepka is 20-1. This guy is insanely good here. Insanely good here. Brooks Koepka is the best play on this board, period. Any number, any value. I think Brooks Koepka has a better chance to win than anybody here.
Interesting. So Shoffley, who you mentioned, and honestly, Bo, I thought he was going to be your single favorite play here. He finished,
No.
Shoffley finished second here in 2019, third in 2021, 10th last year. He's also finished 10th in 5 of his last 7 PGA Tour events. It seems like everything is lining up with Xander. I'm probably going to bet him. But let's talk about
I
some of
bet him
these.
top 5 and top 10, but I'm not betting him outright
Not betting him
because
to
he's not a
win.
finisher. He's not a
He
finisher.
hasn't been. He hasn't been. Maybe this is the week he is. But about these LIV guys, Bo. So Rahm, of course, deserves to be among the favorites. Defending champ, 5 straight top tens on the LIV Tour. I think we can set aside Bryson DeChambeau. He's never finished top 20 here. So I have zero interest in betting him at
He
35
has
to
no
1.
short
That's,
game.
yeah, it's just a complete sucker play. Dustin Johnson has won here, but his recent form's been pretty poor. Hasn't finished top 20 in any of his last 3 LIV events. Koepka, you mentioned, Bo. He's finished twice at the Masters. Only one top 10 on the LIV Tour this year. That's my concern, I guess, that he is not in peak form. But then again, this is a guy who just dials up the intensity for majors.
Something called Dean Burmester won yesterday at Miami, LIV Miami. So I don't think the LIV standings or finishing results have any bearing on this tournament whatsoever. There are guys on the LIV Tour that have qualified for the Masters that are Augusta National specific assassins. They are the mercenaries for Augusta National. Some of the best Masters performers of all time are in this field from the LIV Tour. And you cannot ignore that. And we also should never ignore the incredible betting discount we get just because they play on a tour that doesn't get enough recognition. And so the discount on Koepka is insane. The discount on Cameron Smith, who has 4 top tens, 3 of them in the top 5 at this place, is at 40-1. That's an insult. And Dustin Johnson is still Dustin Johnson. I don't put any stock in finishing results on the LIV Tour because it doesn't matter. These guys aren't competing as much on that tour as much as they are earning.
That's true. And Cam Smith, I mean, so good with his wedge game, so good with his putter, and does seem...
From inside 150 yards, he's probably the most lethal player on the planet.
What about Joaquin Niemann, Bo? I mean, like, I know results on the LIV Tour don't matter to you that much, but he's played in seven LIV Tour events. He's won two of the seven events he's entered this year, and he's finished top seven in all but one of them. So he is red hot, and last year he recorded his best Masters finish in four trips, coming in 16th. So there's been progress. Took him a little while. It seems like he's starting to get used to Augusta National. I think I'm going to bet him. I'm interested.
All these guys are better bets than Wyndham Clark or Ludvig Åberg.
Yeah.
It's just simple. These guys are just great golfers that have kind of been moved off of our focus because of where they play.
Two other guys I'll mention real quickly. Hideki Matsuyama seems so comfortable at Augusta. In 2021, he became the first Japanese player ever to win the Masters. Over the last 9 years, he has two other top tens, and only once in those 9 years has he failed to finish in the top 20. And then, speaking of recent history, no one over the last 10 years has more top fives at the Masters than Jordan Spieth. Won at Augusta in 2015, was second here in 2014 and 2016, was third here in 2018 and 2021, and fourth here last year. That's six top fives in his last 10 trips to Augusta. Any interest in betting him, Bo?
No, I'm just kind of looking elsewhere in that range. Nothing against him.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't really gotten it cooking yet on the PGA Tour this year. So a guy who I think wouldn't surprise me if he was in contention. But yeah, I don't know if there's enough betting value for me either. All right, we'll get to the mid-range plays in just a minute. But if you want a chance to win a free one-year premium Betting Pro subscription, you need to subscribe to the Betting Pros YouTube channel right now. Comment below on this video, and that's it. We'll be announcing a winner right here on the show. So make sure to turn on those notifications so you can be alerted when new episodes are up and to claim your prize. Mid-range options, Bo, Colin Morikawa and Cam Smith at plus 4,000, Tommy Fleetwood and Sahith Theegala plus 4,500, Tyrrell Hatton, Cameron Young, and Russell Henley plus 5,000, Max Homa plus 5,500, Sam Burns, Siwoo Kim, and Shane Lowry plus 6,000, Patrick Reed, Corey Connors, and Brian Harman plus 6,500. Minwoo Lee and Jason Day are plus 7,000. And at plus 8,000 are Adam Scott, Akshay Bhatia, and Denny McCarthy, two of the three guys who battled it out on Sunday, plus Adam Scott, a past winner. So we talked about Cam and his superb short game. Does Theegala have the game to win here, Bo?
Yeah, he does, especially with how he's been playing. This is another guy, kind of like Bhatia, where he's not the most accurate off the tee player, but he's good enough on approach, and Theegala has among the best short games on the planet too. And so his ability around these greens, and he's one of the best at avoiding bogeys on tour and also making birdies. So I think that his prowess on par fives especially puts him into contention here, and that's a really solid number even for a newcomer to really bank on.
Yeah, somewhat intrigued by Shane Lowry, especially when I see wind in the forecast for Thursday and Friday. Last four trips here for Lowry, 25th, 21st, 3rd, and 16th. And, you know, plus 6,000, not that bad a price. Let's talk about Patrick Reed for a second, Bo. Everyone's favorite, you know, the babyface good guy of the LIV Tour. No, not everyone's favorite player, but Patrick Reed did win at Augusta in 2018, and he's finished top 10 in three of the last 4 years. Hasn't been in good form for most of this year on the LIV Tour, but he's finished fourth and 10th in his last two LIV events. Such a good putter. Just seems like this course suits him. And the price, Bo, it's not bad.
No, it's not. It's really good. And he went to Augusta State in college. So I'm pretty sure he's seen this course many, many, many times. He comes in 10th in my stat model for a guy at that price. That's a pretty easy pick. Another guy that rates out really well is Russell Henley. Henley looked really solid last week, kind of tuning up for this event. I think his accuracy plays here, even though I think he's at a disadvantage because of his lack of distance here. That's the rest of his stats look so good here. He's number one in strokes gained short game in this whole field, which is pretty impressive when you consider who's in this field. So I like Henley. I like Thigala in that range. Reed, you can't ignore him. 65-1 for a guy who's played this course so well for so many years. It just seems like he comes back here and finds himself. So betting him at a top 10 number makes a lot of sense for me. I don't know if I expect Patrick Reed to win outright, but I think putting a top 10 bet on him at plus 450, that's pretty solid.
What about long shots, Bo? Anyone with odds of 80-1 or longer who might be worth
Oh
considering?
yeah, well you know that's what I'm looking at the most here. Justin Rose is 130-1. He fits this course well. We can never discount Phil Mickelson here, even though he's old and doesn't really care as much anymore.
He was second here last year.
I know this guy. He's another Patrick Reed type that just shows up to Augusta, and I mean he's a three-time champion for a reason. This guy just has incredible talent. Another guy that is way deep here that fits the course perfectly is our French friend here, Mathieu Pavon, at 200-1. That's an incredible number for a guy with his game. He's just having one of the sleepy, most consistent seasons on the PGA Tour of anybody, and nobody seems to want to talk about him. And I can keep going here. I like Jake Knapp at 250-1 because he's got the distance, he's got the short game. I think if he can find some decent approach shots on this golf course, he could make some noise because he's got that much talent. Shall I continue?
Is there anyone else? I mean, if there's anyone if you're splashing around a bunch of long shot outrights, I think
Yeah,
everyone would be interested to hear those. I mean, you almost gave us Toasty, Bo. Alejandro
I
Toasty.
know.
You almost hit on a 400-1, so by all means, keep rolling.
One guy that can make some serious noise here and hasn't been playing great recently, but I think just out of sheer skill level at 300-1, Eric Cole. For some reason, he rates out well here for me. Not quite as well as Mickelson, but it just seems like Eric Cole, with his short game, could do some things here.
Is there any
I
case?
don't.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
Is there any case to be made for Ricky Fowler? I mean, his form has been pretty terrible this year, but he's shown some aptitude at Augusta National. I mean, from let's see, hasn't played here since 2020, and in 2020 he finished 29th. But in the six Masters played from 2014 to 2019, he finished top 12 five times. Just
Yeah, no.
not enough cooking with his game. All right, fair enough.
Now, I think the what we've seen from him on tougher courses so far this season is not good. So I'm just gonna pass altogether.
All right, but what do you have on your betting card so far?
It's a lot of live guys, which is just because I'm getting better numbers on these guys. I am betting John Rahm at plus 1100. I'm betting every place on Brooks Koepka. 20-1 outright. I'm betting him top five at plus one, plus 330. I'm betting him top 10 at plus 150. I'm betting him everywhere I can. I'm pinning the most on Brooks Koepka. I just think he's going to win this tournament. And I'm going to throw a little bit on Cam Smith at 40-1 with a top 10 kicker. Dustin Johnson, top 10 kicker. And then I'm going to splash some quarter unit bets on Sahith Theegala, and all of the long shots I mentioned are going to get like a $4 or $5 bet, with top 20 or top 40 kickers, because 89 in the field, I'm seeing some pretty decent numbers to double up on top 40, which is essentially going to be the cut. So that's where I'm at.
All right. I'm betting Xander Schauffele at 16-1, Hideki Matsuyama at 25-1, Cam Smith at 40-1. I'm going to bet Joaquin Niemann, but I'm going to wait to see if I can get a better price than plus 2,500, which it was this. I think that's going to go up to 28 or 30 at some point. So I'm going to wait.
He opened at 28, so I'm not sure why he went shorter.
Yeah, I think that'll pivot back, go a little higher. I'm making a small outright bet on Shane Lowry at 60-1 and on Lowry to finish top 10. And I am making a small outright bet on Patrick Reed to win at plus 6,500 and betting him top 20 at plus 190. I feel like that's a pretty good bet. And Bo, I think you're talking me into putting some money on Koepka. Like, if you're that confident, how can I just go icy cold on Brooks Koepka?
That was my first instinct. My second instinct, I ran a stat model. He came in with flying colors. And I'm just a huge, huge fan of Brooks Koepka at the Masters. I think what happened to him 2 years ago pissed him off. And he very nearly won it last year, too. I think that this is the third time's a charm where Koepka just turns into that menace of the majors that we know and love. And I'm all for rooting for the villain. If it's Brooks Koepka, you will never find me saying a bad word about the guy, especially when it's at Augusta National and all the chips are down. And 20-1 for a guy of his caliber is the most hilarious insult I've ever seen. So I will be betting multiple units on Brooks Koepka outright at 20-1, because that's just that's just crazy to me.
Yeah, that is good value in a guy who is just a guy who absolutely shows up for every major, it seems. Now, before we get to our one and done picks, if you are playing in a tiers based Masters pool or Majors pool this year, our friends at Pool Genius have a new product that gives you a distinct edge. Using objective data such as betting odds, course performance, and national pick popularity trends, the tool highlights the top value picks that give you the best chance to win, and it's all customized for your pool's size, scoring system, and tier structure. If you're doing a Masters tiers pool, let Pool Genius be your secret weapon. And by the way, Pool Genius isn't just for golf pools. You can use it for March Madness pools, NFL Survivor pools, and more. For 10% off on the Majors and Masters picks tool, and for up to 55% off on the yearly packages that include all golf, football, and March Madness tools, visit poolgenius.com/fantasypros. Again, that's poolgenius.com/fantasypros, and that would be a fantastic tool to use for our Betting Pros Masters Fantasy Tiers contest. All right, Bo, one and done. Last week, you had Hideki Matsuyama tied for seventh, good for $289,000 in change. You extend your commanding lead, because even though I did okay with Alex Noren, who tied for 14th, Noren was only good for $131,000 in change. So you add another six figures onto your lead, and you are up first this week. Who are you taking?
It's no mystery. I'm taking Brooks Koepka.
You're taking Brooks. All right.
And I honestly thought about saving Scottie Scheffler for this, but because I can play Scottie Scheffler in more instances after this, like, I only get four chances to play Brooks Koepka. So I'm going to play him this week and save Scottie for the U.S. Open or something.
Yeah, for the same reason I have to take a live guy myself, Bo, I'm going to take Joaquin Niemann. He's been just so hot lately. Yeah, and, you know, for a guy who's never recorded a top 10 at Augusta, you know, in a place where...
He's good enough to do it, that's for sure.
Yeah, course history matters, but I just feel like the trajectory is right for Joaquin Niemann. So we're doing dueling live tour players, Koepka versus Niemann. All right. And that's going to do it for this week's show. I want to thank our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Sign up for Underdog with the promo code BPGolf to get your first deposit matched up to $100 plus a special pick available for you in the lobby. And please come join Bo and I again next week when we will be previewing the RBC Heritage at Harbortown. Good luck with your Masters bets, everyone. So long. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Betting Pros Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow us on X and TikTok at Betting Pros and Instagram at Betting Pros NFL. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/bettingpros.